On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Kickoff with Michael Thompson, Neil Simons, and Clem Tito.
That's a very good morning wherever you're listening around here on 88.3 Southern FM, southernfm.com.au via the TuneIn app. No Clem Tito today, and well, I think, as I like to say, people like to do a bit of a sleep in on a Sunday morning. I think Clem's probably watched a little bit too much European football overnight, too. Completely fair enough.
No, you're not. No, you're not to watch those.
So. No,
boy, it's just me and you, Tomo. It's good.
It is. Hello, yeah. Neil.
I'm very good, man. You didn't even ask me. I just had to say it.
Like, yeah.
I'm doing good, man.
That's good.
A-League's back. A-League Women's back. Well, next week. Matilda's back in action, and we've got some FFA Cup action. I think there's a lot of games next week. Hume City take on Melbourne City, and also Avondale on the weekend. So we'll be chatting to Nick Hegarty this morning as well, the Hume City head coach.
Yep.
And also had a very storied career in the UK as well, and was, you know, a storied player for Hume City, you'd have to say, as well.
And credit to Nick as well, because he's actually on his way to training as we speak.
Right,
so
yeah.
Hume City, I think from what he's told me, are slated to start training at about 10:30 this morning. So we're going to appreciate.
So we're not going to grab him for the whole show then?
No, unfortunately not. Not this time around.
Damn it, man.
So yeah, we'll cover off FFA Cup, A-League Men's, A-League Women's, and well, we're going to start with the Matildas fallout because it was a 3-0 defeat to Team USA, and the catalyst began 43 seconds in when we let in the first goal, Neil.
Look, I think there needs to be an emphasis placed upon performance. However, I feel as if the public perception of the Matildas is very esteemed and established within, you know, contemporary Australian society, and that's a good thing. To get 36,000 on a rainy Saturday afternoon to come and support the Matildas at Stadium Australia is absolutely superb, and full credit to the crowd. But I'll reserve my thoughts for later. I want to hear sort of your perspective on that contest. Obviously, only two wins in regulation time within 15 games of Tony Gustafsson's tenure, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a disappointing, again, from the back. Our defence, again, crumbles under immense pressure as well, and the leaking possession play. And Team USA ran rings around our defence over the course of the 90 minutes. And I'm surprised that we let in three goals in the end. We had maybe one or two really good chances back.
We looked really good towards the end of the second half, I think, obviously.
Like that last 10 minutes, I was pretty happy with how they played.
Yeah, Kai Simon missed that absolute sitter.
Yep.
Oh, my word. That was horrific. But it happens. But I'll sort of continue on my other train of thought that I was on just before. The perception of the Matildas is very established, very esteemed. I understand that. But to what point are we over-exaggerating the extent to which this team is successful? Three wins in 15 games under Gustafsson's tenure.
Yep.
Against very good opposition. Against very good opposition, I'll give them that.
I will say, though, we didn't have two of our key cogs down back in Kennedy or Polkinghorne.
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. Regardless of their implementation, there's no defensive structure. There's the lack of movement from defence to midfield is very worrying. The wing-backs and Steph Catley and Ellie Carpenter performed very well yesterday. But then you slot Ellie Carpenter into a back two, so in the center of defense. It just, to me, it was very confusing, and to me, it seemed that essentially Ellie Carpenter and Steph Catley were playing as wing backs. Carpenter was brilliant. Catley was brilliant for the most part.
Yep.
But then when the USA attacked on the counter, Lynn Williams just ran through them with ease. And I think to put Jessica Nash on a debut at centre-back against the USA, look, it's good. You have to obviously, you know, lud these youngsters through. I understand that. It's a good thing. But, again, I just... it's a bit hard to sort of take any positives from this other than that we're creating chances, but we're just conceding goals. To be fair, that penalty was very soft. Very soft
penalty.
Oh, it was,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, very soft penalty, but...
Which was scored by Lindsay Horan.
I'm going to go on a whim here and say Gustafsson should be under intense scrutiny now. But he's not going to be under intense scrutiny.
No.
But I understand that the opposition has been obviously very difficult, and we're realistically a top 10 nation in women's football, but if we want to have any expectation of winning, or at least coming close to winning the Women's World Cup in 2023, losing 3-0 against the USA isn't a glowing endorsement of that, but the performances are encouraging. But to what point do we say these performances aren't translating into results, despite them being friendlies? But, you know, we will be having a lot of more friendlies, considering that we are the hosts of the World Cup in 2 years.
We've got a rematch this Tuesday in Newey. I think looking at the way that we need to definitely improve in all facets of the areas. However, the one thing I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing from the girls on Tuesday is a bit more of a spirited performance for at least the most part of it. I wouldn't be mad if we lose, you know, maybe by one goal. But like even taking maybe a point off Team USA would be fantastic. We can finish up in a draw on Tuesday night. Depends on if we can or can't. I'd be pretty happy with
if Tony Gustavsson wants to play a back five and do what he did in the Olympics against the USA, then by all means.
Yeah.
USA are missing their key players too. Their goalkeeper in goal was man of the match. I think we need to sort of, you know, keep that in mind as well. If Gustavsson can't get results at the Asian Cup, he should be sacked. I'm just going to be honest with you. You can clip this, whatever, but if the Matildas do not make the semifinals of the Women's Asian Cup in 2022, which is in 2 months, I believe that Gustavsson is not fit to manage this national team into a hosting Women's World Cup in 2023. I love Gustavsson. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful character.
He's got good personality.
Yeah, no, he's a wonderful character. Yeah. I think he's a really lovely guy. Every press conference I've attended, he's been so wonderful with his time, so eager to explain his tactical...
And the girls love him.
Yeah.
The girls absolutely love Tony.
Yeah, and that's important. But, you know, I understand that tactical implementation takes a long time. Perhaps he shouldn't be sacked after the Asian Cup. And perhaps he needs more time to breed these youngsters through. But I'm of the firm belief that we should try and put ourselves in a position to perform the best at the Asian Cup. Although, I'm conflicted, because if we sack him a year and a half before the Women's World Cup, we're getting it like a similar to a sort of Alan Stadgett situation where you sack him on the eve of the other Women's World Cup, which was in 2019. So. Yeah. I don't know. It's very confusing.
And if we do go down the route of sacking Gustavsson on the eve of the Women's World Cup, then the girls are going to have to adapt to a new game plan under a new coach. And that doesn't take, you know, 6-9 months to sort of click into gear.
Yeah,
it takes longer. And it took longer for the girls to click under, similar to what Alan Stargic brought to his game plan, and now Tony Gustavsson. It took them a while.
Even under Ante Milicic.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to adapt under Milicic's extensive tactical regime, which includes playing Tommy Orr at centre midfield for MacArthur and Craig Noon at right wing back. We'll get into that later. But Tony has said in the press conference yesterday, judge me on the Asian Cup. Yep. So we'll do that. We'll definitely do that.
Given the benefit of the doubt, we'll judge him then. But I think the friendlies, he's not too worried too much about it, but I think he would like to see the girls perform to a high standard and sort of use this as a bit of a platform for them before they go into the Asian Cup.
Yeah, I think it's good. The results against the Brazil last month were encouraging. It was an encouraging step forward. The result yesterday wasn't great.
It was like we took two steps back a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, Sam Kerr looked a little bit lethargic. She had gastro. It's fine. I thought Kai Simon was okay. Caitlin Ford was okay.
Yep.
Mary Fowler, again, she's the golden girl, really. Mary Fowler, I think she's, going to be probably overtaking Sam Kerr in terms of her prestige. And I like to see some new strikers being deployed as well. Perhaps Caitlin Ford can slot into that striking position against the USA and UE. But it's a very intriguing sort of dilemma you have here with your team selection. I think Gustavsson's just sort of trying to find out which is his best team to put out on the park. And it's going to take time, so I don't blame him at all.
What's the result you're thinking we might be seeing Tuesday?
I reckon we could win, because the performance yesterday, by and large, there were lapses in defensive concentration, especially with that first goal. My word.
That was a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, look, Rose Lavelle also destroyed the defense as well, which is great to see. But no, I think, yeah, look, if we can nab a 2-1 result, that'd be great.
So actually Hatch also destroyed our defense as well.
Yeah, send the fans home happy. But yeah, I think this Matilda side has the capability to beat the USA. Wasn't our day, but really at home, especially with the Wiggles, man. The Wiggles were like, you know, you're doing a national anthem. You should do it for them.
See,
do it for them, man.
I missed the Wiggles. I did miss that Wiggles performance. How was it?
Dominic Bossy penned a very wonderful piece on it. I'm not even joking for a second. Don Bossy from the Sydney Morning Herald, within Vince Rigari's live blog yesterday, it was like some thoughts on the Wiggles performance from Dominic Bossy. It's like some 2-paragraph essay.
I'm gonna read that.
Yeah, I've sent it somewhere. It's a good read. It's just, you know, typical Don Bossy. Wonderful journalism.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll take a short break now here for you Sunday morning here on Kickoff. On the other side of this, we're going to touch base with Nick Hegarty from Hume City. They've got a big FFA Cup game midweek. They've also got the Doherty Cup final against Avondale next Sunday. So we're going to touch base with him before he commences training with his boys later this morning.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
You are indeed listening to Kickoff, and Neil was just giving me a bit of an excerpt from that article in regards to the Wiggles. So I'm looking forward to reading more of that article over the course of today. But joining us now, Neil, and we're very thankful to have him on. Hume City have got a couple of big games ahead, and in particular, next Sunday's Doherty Cup final, which got moved originally from midweek to the weekend. His name's Nick Hegarty. He's been part of our show before. Heggs, good morning. Welcome to Kickoff.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's the mood like at Hume City at the moment, leading up to a couple of big games hanging up the next week or so?
Yeah, the players are mad to get the games going and get out on the pitch, to be honest. It'll be a quick turnaround from Wednesday to Saturday, Sunday now, but everybody's looking forward to it.
And Heggs, obviously, quite the result against Port Melbourne. A couple of weeks ago, I was in attendance, and it was really remarkable to see the turnaround, especially to get 2 stoppage time goals is really fantastic. And Niall Bernarda getting that late one. Obviously, there was a mix-up with the red card for Bernarda. Could you give us perhaps an update on sort of how that's going, if he will be available for the cup game against Melbourne City?
So that's been overturned based on mistaken identity, which is good, so he'll be available for the game. We're just trying to get ourselves in the best condition we can. We felt like we prepared well and thought that we would end up being able to kind of make the difference in the latter minutes against Port Melbourne, and that was the case. So, it was good to see that the plans we put in place came to fruition.
Absolutely. And I guess approaching this game against Melbourne City, we'll talk about that one first. Obviously, they have a quick turnaround as well. They obviously faced Adelaide United last night, blew a 2-0 lead. What are you guys going to approach? Obviously, they'll likely breed some youngsters through, and this is probably a more stringent opponent compared to when they faced South Melbourne. Taking those lessons into account, how do you think you guys will approach that one?
Obviously, we're trying to prepare to match their fitness and their speed in general, their sharpness. But we generally take every game the same. We play our style. We want to impose our style on Melbourne City, and we want to impose our style on Avondale. That's what we want to do in every game, and it'll be no different. There'll be limited changes or tweaks to our system to play Melbourne City, so we'll just go for it and see what happens.
And Heggs, how good is it to A, have crowds back at local football, and B, how good is it as well to have Paramount Plus and Channel 10 really sort of showcase the FFA Cup, not only your game that's going to be on 10 play this Wednesday night, but pretty much every single FFA Cup game that's happening at the moment?
That's what it's about. We play football for the fans, really, and we play football for the entertainment factor, and playing behind closed doors is not what anybody wants. And again, these moments for our players to get on TV and get people around the world watching what we're doing is everything the football is about. So it's good that they get an opportunity again.
Heggs, and obviously you've got the game against Avondale on Sunday in the Doherty Cup final. Winners of the Doherty Cup in the past. How do you guys feel you could approach that game? Obviously, Avondale actually haven't played a competitive fixture in this sort of restart. They've obviously got that game in the FFA Cup against either Western United or Wellington Phoenix in the round of 16. That game's very interesting. How do you guys approach that one?
We're just going to have to get ourselves off after the game on Wednesday and see what condition we're in, I suppose, and then playing an opposition, again, like no competitive game. We don't really know their lineups. It's like a first game of pre-season, really. So we'll just go and give it our all. It's cup final, so there'll be a winner at the end of the day, and we just hope it's us.
Of course. And a number of squad changes as well in the off-season for you guys. Of course, losing Andy Brennan will be the notable one. And you've obviously brought in Bonata. And I believe, I'm not sure if this was announced, but Brandon Lawton, sort of in terms of changing that squad composition, especially within such a short turnover, what's the process of integration for these new guys?
Yeah, it's not been, it's been easier than I thought, to be honest. We've got four or five bodies in, and obviously we went to that Port Melbourne game and had five debuts, including two senior debuts. But the boys that have come in have been great. This has been basically a mini season for next season, so hopefully next season we'll be stronger for it. But the boys have been great, and with the boys that we had kept, it's been an easy kind of like integration, I suppose is the best word, and we look pretty cohesive, which I'm happy about, but obviously room for improvement.
And you are training later this morning. Tell us a little bit about what the training regimen's looking like for the week ahead with the two big games.
Yeah, so we'll train this morning, and then we'll train tomorrow night, going to Wednesday, and then we'll probably just do something Friday prior to Sunday.
No worries. And, good luck, Heggs. Obviously, looking forward to get down to ABD Stadium on Wednesday night. It's going to be a massive clash against Melbourne City, and we hope for a cup set. We haven't had one this so far in the cup, but there's anything to go by in terms of the Cup Kings of Victorian football, Hume City would definitely define that. So good luck, Heggs.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Nick Hegarty, the Hume City head coach, joining us there. And hopefully we get a cup set, Neil.
Look, I'd love to see a cup set. I think Hume City, they just play such eloquent football. Josh Bingham as the main striker, fantastic. Brandon Lawton, now that you add Bernardo into the mix, and you've got a really, really strong side that I reckon could definitely trouble Melbourne City. I think realistically they'll start Kolakowski, Tilio, Nathaniel Atkinson, maybe Pucciarelli could get some minutes.
Yep.
They weren't in the squad yesterday. So
yeah, I saw your tweet in regards to Atkinson not being in that starting 11.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about the squad. I mean, like, fair enough if he doesn't make the starting 11, but the whole argument with Atkinson and Galloway is a very intriguing one. But Tomo, I believe there's some A-League to discuss, which we will do extensively. We've got some three games to cover.
Yep.
No, four games to cover. So we've got two today, and we've got four to cover from the past 2 days. We'll go through that in the next segment.
Yeah, we will indeed. We might touch on the FFA Cup stuff for now, and then we'll come and touch on A-League men's, and then before the end of the show, we'll do A-League women's as well.
Sure.
The two teams so far through to the quarterfinals of the FFA Cup so far are Adelaide United. They won back in October, 1-0, and then Brisbane Roar beat Lions FC as well back in October as well. So their first two teams through.
Mm.
The game's coming up, and there's two games, so a double header for you to watch on 10Play, PowerMap Plus, wherever you like to watch it. Wolves, Mariners.
Yes.
Shouldn't be a really cracking game.
Yeah, it's funny because Nick Montgomery played for the Wolves as well back in the day, and he's obviously had a pretty good start to life as coach of the Mariners, narrowly going down to Wellington last night and obviously getting the win last week in the F3 Derby. But obviously you've got the Wolves, who've got a formidable fan base. I reckon I'd love to see 3K or so at Wynn Stadium. It'd be really good to see them sort of make an effort. Talk about expansion and things like that. I'm not going to really read into that, to be honest. But they'd obviously be up there in terms of viable expansion candidates. And I think it'd be remiss for us to talk about the shootout victory for Melbourne Victory against Perth Glory.
Oh, yeah, that was great to watch.
Yeah, very interesting. A lot of youngsters being played, especially for the Perth Glory. I thought Rudy Garcia really set up his side really well, and Ruben Zenkovic as well, as the Glory youth coach.
I do want to put out there, before we continue talking about it, Melbourne Victory social media team was on fire during that.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it was Pav. If it wasn't Pav, then it was.
I did like the
Sam.
I did like the can you please return the ball, please, to Master Sports Complex, which I completely love. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Yeah, it's funny. It was very good. I think Victory social media has been superb, and yeah, Sydney Olympic definitely taking Sydney FC to the brink. They got the first goal and. Oh, man, it would have been fantastic. But Luke Braddon tearing his ACL in that one. That is absolutely horrifying for Sydney FC. Is it the end of Showtime Sydney?
Ooh.
Who knows? I mean, last night's result was not great.
No.
But then again, we'll see what happens. But yeah, big week of cup football as well. Melbourne City obviously taking on Hume City on Wednesday.
Yep,
get down to that if you can.
And then there's a few other games too. Mm. We don't know who's playing the Wanderers just yet. That's going to be on Tuesday, 7th of December.
Yeah, because there was a positive COVID test. I think, are they playing the Tigers versus Apia game on Thursday?
I'm going to quickly have a check of that.
Because I saw it on the accreditation form that there was on the 2nd of December. So I'm not sure if they've actually rescheduled that. But anyway.
Yeah, this Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, Tigers, Apia, Leichhardt.
Yeah, because there was a positive COVID case, that they couldn't play it on the Wednesday.
Yep.
So they had to play it then. So the winner of that game will play the Wanderers. And I bet we all know who we hope is going to win.
Yep.
Apia, Leichhardt.
Hopefully.
Imagine Apia, Leichhardt play at Leichhardt Oval against the Wanderers. It'd be absolutely cracking evening.
Sydney FC, MacArthur as well on the 8th of December.
They can't escape each other, can they?
No. And then we're weighing as well on who's going to take on Avondale in the last of the round of 16.
I really hope it's West United because, I'd love to see Valentini just rip their defense apart, which would be interesting. But I think Avondale. Avondale drew 2-2 against Victory, and they lost 2-1 against City. So
go figure.
Put that into perspective. Like, Avondale are a very well-oiled institution, and they're clearly one of the best NPL teams in the country.
They are indeed. I'm looking forward to, hopefully, as we said, hopefully we see a cup set, if not from Hume City, but maybe hopefully Avondale as well. And the Doherty Cup as well, we might as well quickly touch on that. We'll touch on it probably in a little bit more detail next Sunday.
Mm.
But it's good to have probably two of the brightest teams from the NPL competition from 2021 go head-to-head to see who's going to be the champions of Victoria.
Yeah, Doherty Cup's a wonderful occasion, a big occasion as well for these two sides. Avondale, obviously, haven't had an FFA Cup game. By that point, Hume would have played two. So it's their real first test. It's to sort of get themselves into gear. They have played preseason games, Avondale, played Victory, played City. They've also played Hume City as well, actually, Avondale.
They have.
They lost 3-1 in a preseason clash to Hume. So I think that's our first indication of what we have at the moment in terms of these two sides shaping up. But Avondale, not a lot of squad turnover that's been announced, at least. From my understanding, they've kept everybody at the moment. Hume obviously have a bit of squad turnover, but it could go either way, to be honest. Avondale, within the preseason results, have performed very well, but Hume obviously will have the match fitness, the legs, the resilience, possibly playing 120 against City. You hope, at least. Well, you don't hope, but you'd hope that they could take them to 120. But yeah, who knows?
Fingers crossed. We'll definitely keep it. We'll keep our eyes on that one as well. Exciting. That a lot of cup football happening over the next couple of weeks or so. We'll take a short break because we've had a few games in the A-League over this past weekend. We're going to preview a couple of games coming up this afternoon. This is Kickoff with Neil Simons and Michael Thompson. More back on the other side of this.
Listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Good news, guys. Clem is alive. He's just messaged me saying he slept through his alarm and gracefully apologises. So, not throwing him under the bus or anything like that.
Big Clemmer. Nah, it's good stuff, Clem. Nah, it's good. I mean, it happens, man. It happens. It does.
I mean,
can't blame him.
We've all slept through our alarms in one way, shape, or form. I mean, I've been late to work numerous times because I slept through my alarm and I get the greasies from my bosses at work, so
yes,
it always happens.
It does happen. It is what it is.
Back on Kickoff, by the way, here Neil Simons, Michael Thompson. If you didn't know that, on 88.3 Southern FM, you can contact us by the way, on the text line, 0404 000 736 between now and 10:30, or drop us a follow on Twitter, Kickoff Southern.
Please do.
We've gained a lot of traction over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been good, man.
The momentum's continuing to roll on. So
you love to see it, mate.
Absolutely.
You love to see it.
Absolutely.
Good. Anyway.
Speaking of things we love to see.
The A-League's back.
What a comeback from Adelaide United. Can we just quickly touch on that for a moment before we go back to Friday night? Because that's sort of fresh in our minds. But Adelaide United, I think I said a couple of weeks ago as well, you can't underestimate.
No, you can't.
No, and I was very bullish on Adelaide United, and I still am to an extent too, because when I play Cooper Stadium, it's a whole different beast for Adelaide United and the Reds. They really bring it to the occasion. They step up when the time is right, and they stepped up against the champions in Melbourne City
Absolutely.
Last night.
Andrew Nabut outside of the boot.
Yeah.
What a finish. What a finish. He, ran through their defense, easily the man of the match for me last night, provided the assist from Jay Macca, a very nice tap-in. So, McLaren, the best poacher in Australian football, as Andy Harper said on the commentary.
Yep.
But, again, brilliant from Andrew Nabut, just took it within his stride. Nice little outside of the boot shot from outside of the box, just trickled past James Delianov so well. And at, Adelaide United were down 2-0 at that point.
Speaking of which, former City player himself, absolutely loves playing against his old team. I'm talking about Mr. Stefan Mork.
He's a pest sometimes.
Yep.
Many perceive him as a pest, but again, tap in for Stefan Mork. Cassini Yankee creates some space on the outside of the area.
He's had a good start to the season.
Yeah, Cassini was okay last night. I felt he was there in moments, but largely was ineffective within possession, struggled to get past that centre-back partnership of Nuno Raich and Curtis Good. But obviously created some space, took the shot, deflected inside of the post on the left-hand side, and Stefan Mork tapped it in. And how about this defensive calamity from Tom Glover?
Yep.
Played the ball out to the substitute, Jordan Boss, who was actually come on for his A-League debut. And well, Halloran said thank you very much and chipped Glover, and you could just see the angle of Glover just looking at the ball.
In the words of Andy
disbelief.
Harper, monumental muck up.
Did he say that?
Yep.
Wow, that's very interesting. Monumental muck up.
And like I saw Wilshere's face as well. He just couldn't believe what Glover had done in that passage of play there, where Ben Halloran was able to sort of clean up and equalise for Adelaide United.
It happens, man. I think. Yeah, City should have definitely got the 3 points here. Adelaide, again, very good within transition, very effective on the ball. They attacked that left side extensively, Melbourne City, and definitely troubling Josh Carvalho and Michael Jakobsen. But Carvalho, as he grew into the game, as the second goal was scored, especially after the first goal was scored, he really got in his stride, Josh, and performed really well. I felt, his crossing ability is superb.
Yep.
Ben Halloran, ominous as always, able to, that footballing IQ he possesses, pick up the loose ball, chip the goalkeeper. You just love to see it. And, Adelaide, two points from two games, one away from home, one at home against, well, as we expect to be, the championship favourites, is very good.
As we said last week too, like Perth and Adelaide, actually, the first four games of the new A-League season, Perth and Adelaide ended up playing the most entertaining brand of football on that Saturday night. I liked the game.
I thought that game against I didn't actually get to catch the full game. I watched the mini match. Man, they looked lethargic, Perth.
Yeah.
If I'll be honest, but then again, there was that very contentious VAR call. Connor Payton, the ball, in my opinion, was out. I love Connor to death. We had a great chat the other week. That interview's on Kick360, by the way, quick plug. I feel that, Perth were hard done by. West United deserve that. Obviously, good to see Dylan Wenzel-Halls get his first goal for his new club, but again, I can understand why Perth would be aggrieved, and to be honest, they haven't had the greatest week, have they?
No.
Especially with what's come out today, or yesterday, from Tony Sage on, where you work, Tomo, SEN. Do you want to read this? Have you heard it?
I actually haven't heard it.
Okay, so in essence, Tony Sage, you got a big mouth, Tony.
Very opinionated.
Yeah, very opinionated, which is good. We love to see the passion. But then again, he's made some mistakes within his Korea, and this is one of them. Perth Glory owner Tony Sage says it was Daniel Sturridge's decision not to play against Western United on Friday. Sage said that Sturridge isn't used to the 4-hour flights and felt he couldn't contribute. Oh, that is not great to hear from Tony Sage's perspective, because you're perhaps...
You're undermining your marquee player.
In essence, yes. And also, Tony Sage goes on a whim again. He said he wrote to the APL as soon as West United scored their controversial goal against Perth Glory on Friday, demanding an overhaul of the VAR and the league. Sage says other owners admit it wasn't a goal and that a review has been agreed to. Now, I just...
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm laughing because, like, saying that other owners, I don't know. It's just sounds like a he said, she said type of thing. Even with Sturridge, man. Like, I'm now getting thoughts that Sturridge won't even last, like, 6 months in this league, let alone a full season. So,
Well, hopefully it doesn't come to anything similar to when we had LaMelo Ball out here for the NBL a couple of seasons ago.
It's a very different sort of situation.
Yeah, though. But...
I enjoyed when he completely ripped apart the South East Melbourne Phoenix.
I didn't.
It was great. It was really good. Anyway, but yeah, I felt that, yeah, Perth were, the kit was very nice. Why were taking that as positive? No, but I felt Luke Bodner did really well when he came on and obviously pocketed Diamante pretty effectively in passages of play. Bruno Fornaroli was kept relatively quiet. But yeah, I think more of the same from Western United. Obviously Kilkenny coming up against his former side had performed quite okay, and yeah, I mean, more of the same. Aloisi to get his first win, very good job. But I think West United could be, finals contenders. And once you slot in Rene Crin, and also, you know, I think Leo Lacroix,
he's a fantastic manager, too, John Aloisi, too. Like, you can't undermine, he's got good football IQ, and he's got.
Aloisi knows how to get the best out of his players.
Yeah, he brings a lot
to the
table.
He's a very good manager.
So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past if West United potentially play off in finals later this season as well, because I think Aloisi can get the best out of this Western United team as well. Wellington Phoenix and Central Coast, 2-1.
Yeah, this game just sprung to life in the second half, if I'll be honest. Mariners had a lot of shots outside of the box, which was, you know, encouraging to see. And I think as the game sort of grew longer, and you know, sort of the team sort of started to come into to stride, Wellington obviously got that first goal courtesy of, I think it was Gary Hooper, relative tap-in. A terrible mistake by Ollie Sale. Saw Urania basically score a peacher of a goal. Just, very low driven, just a nice little curler into the bottom right. And obviously, another fantastic goal scored by Wellington to make it 2-1. And a penalty save by my Mark Birigidi wasn't enough, as the Mariners did fall to the Phoenix. Again, more of the same. From the Knicks. Good to see them getting a result, though. 4 points from two games, you could argue, wasn't expected, especially with all the sort of the upheaval surrounding their current sort of status in terms of if they can travel back. I don't think they'll be able to play in New Zealand this season, which is very upsetting.
Yep.
April 30th, I think, is they've touted as the day in which they can actually start playing. So,
especially with news coming out about this new variant that potentially might be in Australia too. So I know the APL will definitely be keeping an eye on that one, whether Wellington can head back to New Zealand to play games. But as you said, like at this point in time, probably highly unlikely, which is unfortunate too for anyone representing the Phoenix and people supporting the Phoenix over there too, because they would love to see a couple of home games at the Tin Cake or the Cake Tin.
Tin Cake.
Cake tin.
What's tin cake, Tom?
I don't know.
Nah, but I feel like, yeah, the obviously the Knicks were unfortunate to obviously not play their games at the cake tin. Nah, but yeah, in all seriousness, I think they've got some good squad competition as it currently stands. They do need a number 10, and I believe they're bringing in one as well. So, yeah, good stuff.
And MacArthur with a 1-0 win over Sydney FC last night.
Yeah, interesting one. This was obviously the Symbolcast game, and I'm just going to go on a whim here and say, man, I don't think it's working, I'll be honest, the Symbolcast.
You can see what they're trying to do?
I could see what they're trying to do, but like 2 weeks in, they present it as like a sort of like a goal rush type thing.
Yeah.
You're just showing the goal. That's all. Like, goal rush is like you show chances and stuff.
Yeah.
maybe it's the infrastructure that they haven't really got up to speed yet, but I don't know. Anyway, Lockie Rose, what a story, man. He's gone from MPL2, playing for Blacktown Spartans, went on trial with MacArthur, is now scoring goals for fun. He's got 4 and 3 games across all competitions. He's having the time of his life as a number 9, isn't he?
He is indeed. It's good to see Lockie Rose playing at the highest level and also dominating at the highest level at this point in time too. It's good for MacArthur as well, because we did mention MacArthur is going to have a very interesting season both on and off field. We still think they're going to finish in finals contention in some way, shape or form, but taking 3 points off Sydney FC, who who are bound to have a good season as well. It's good stuff for MacArthur, and it's exactly like they need those early points as well to sort of send a little bit of a message to the competition, send a message to the top teams as well. Two games this afternoon, Victory Raw.
We're missing one. We haven't missed one.
No.
We've been through all them.
Yep.
Yeah, Victory Raw, I'll be there. It's going to be interesting to see the crowd, first of all. I think a lot of passion emanating from the terraces at Victory.
Well, as we saw last week too, the crowd was...
The away contingent was absolutely superb, and I think Victory fans should be very, very pleased with their performance last week. From a defensive standpoint, a little bit rusty in the offensive region, but there's no reason why you shouldn't be getting a full strength lineup besides Josh Brillante today. In my opinion, they should win.
Yeah.
I think Brisbane, they can trouble teams, Brisbane. We saw last week Luke Ivanovic and those players that they have within that attacking region perform really well. Rahmat Akbari, someone to watch against his former side in the Victory. But yeah, I feel as if, the Brisbane Roar have a lot to prove. I think doing I think Tara Rusher called it FIFO, which is an accounting term, a first in, first out method, for Brisbane Roar to fly in, fly out. So yeah, I think, for Victory, obviously, Roderick Miranda scored the goal last week, and I expect him to be a formidable force this afternoon. Jason Davidson performed really well last week as well. The question is, do you stick Economides on the left or the right? That's a question that sort of has to be addressed. And will Brisbane be with Juan Lescano, their Argentinian talisman, who's played in, I believe, the Russian second division, among other leagues. So... yeah, I think we should expect a very cagey affair. I expect to see free-flowing attacking football from the Brisbane Roar. Victory, it's pop a ball, so you won't really get much of that. But
Tony Popovich came out, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and he said he wants to turn Amy Park into a fortress this season.
Yeah, they clipped that. I see that, yeah.
Yeah, and he feels like that with a big crowd contingent, which they can definitely get. Victory fans, as we know, they're and me being a Victory fan as well,
Show your allegiances, Tomo.
Can't help it.
I've got no allegiances, mate.
Can't help it sometimes. Very passionate people. Very, very passionate about their club and
passionate football people.
Yeah, very passionate.
The Italian ownership group. You love to see it. You know, it's really good. It's a really good vibe around the club at the moment. You got to feel. And I actually want to touch on this before we move into the last game, being Western Sydney against Newcastle.
Sure.
McLaren's post-game interview yesterday was quite interesting. I don't think enough attention's been paid towards it. He basically said, I'm not sure if I can say the word, but CRAP, they were that. And also that, basically, what happened is he just basically threw Tom Glover under the bus, saying, I'm not going to blame it all on Tommy, but that was bad, in essence. Something tells me, man.
I was going to say, Luke Wilshere also mentioned as well that you can't...
You seem to love Luke Wilshere for
I
some
do.
Reason.
He also
He's the most standard pundit there is. Like, he's a James Milner of punditry.
He mentioned as well that, that you can't give up a possession like that in the dying minutes as well. And Mark Milligan said PK is going to tear shreds through
up. He seemed pretty okay in the post-match presser that I did see, but...
But you want to know what happened behind closed doors.
I want to know what's happening with his squad composition and what's actually happening with the team morale. Because if Jamie McLaren is going to come out after a game and throw Tom Glover under the bus,
it's not good.
If you're doing it as a sort of collective team performance and saying we were bad, which you did say that, fine. But throwing Tom Glover under the bus, I don't know, man. something tells me that something's up at City, to be honest. I feel like maybe it's Des Buckingham who's gone. Maybe it's Neil Young who's gone. Neil Young has the worst spelling than Neil Simons, so N-E-I-L. Anyway, nah, but I feel that, City, they're not going to steamroll a league by any means. No. Lecky was okay last night. Didn't see much of him in the second half, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think a cause for concern, most definitely.
And we'll quickly touch on the final game of round two of the A-League Men's, Western Sydney Wanderers and Newcastle Jets.
The Isuzu Ute, A-League Men's. Make sure you vote for the Isuzu Ute. Alex Tobin medalist. Nah, but Wanderers at home against Newey should be a very interesting one. You've got a couple of former Newcastle players playing for the Wanderers and a couple of former Wanderers players playing for Newcastle. So you've got Matt Yeoman, Jordan O'Doherty playing for the Jets. You've got, of course, Bernie Abini, Stephen Ugarkovic playing for the Wanderers, and also Johnny Katrumbas, who made the move in the offseason. I think Wanderers should take this one pretty comprehensively. Robinson Ball will be in full effect back four. No injury concerns of note, but I want to see some more minutes from Jack Rodwell. He'd be fantastic to see him in the middle of the park. Obviously performed very well last week. Nearly scored that screamer against Andrew Redmayne. But for the Jets, they are a team to watch, mate.
Yeah.
Pappas Ball is fantastic. I love it. Free-flowing attacking football. Just players, foreigners, who just did not give a damn and will shoot from anywhere. Daniel Pena, hello. Beke Mikeltsade, who is just the most brutal Georgian I've ever seen.
He got a lot of praise. Like, Newcastle got a lot of praise last week in their game, which is thoroughly deserved too, because people don't know Arthur Pappas. He was one of the most... Oh, what's the best word to describe him? Because
Generational coaches,
yep. In
the NPL Victoria. He achieved a lot of success.
Yeah.
Especially with their Green Gully side when he beat the Mariners. Boland.
And he's also one of the nicest blokes too.
He was coach of the Green Gully when they beat Mariners, right? I hope that he was. Otherwise, I've got that very wrong.
Oh, was he?
I think... No, because he coached Gully and he also coached... who else did he coach? He coached Green Gully.
Yep.
And he also coached Oakley Cannons, yeah.
That's Cannons.
He was coach of Green Gully in 2016. So
yep, so when they beat the Mariners.
Yeah, that would be correct. But
he's one of the nicest blokes in the entire world. He gives his time. He's happy to give up his time for you to have a chat with him as well.
Yeah, Arthur Pappas was linked to the Victory job last year, actually. He was extensively. And obviously Yokohama under Ange and got that title win. He's a young coach by all respects, only 41, which is pretty young for a coach, and starting his career at the Oakley Cannons to sort of where he sort of ended up now is a formidable career he's carving for himself, and in his first major head coaching role, you'd have to say he's hopefully going to perform really well. I'd love to see sort of what he can do with this team. The resources that he's been afforded. Sam Silvera is someone I want to see in action a lot this season.
Yep.
Obviously made that move to Paco de Ferreira in the Portuguese first division. Hasn't seen much game time on his times on loan in the second and third tiers. At one time playing with Danny Choi. Who we know Danny Choi.
Yep.
Played for Blacktown City and scored that, I think, long-range strike against Adelaide, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of years ago in the Cup. But, it should be very interesting to see what happens.
And the ladder, as it stands now, as I said, there's still two games to go before the completion of match week two. So City sit atop with Wellington and MacArthur, all on 4 points. Victory can go to top this afternoon with a win over the Brisbane Roar. They're in fourth. Then you got Mariners in fifth, West United in sixth, Adelaide United. They haven't won a game. However, they got two draws, so they got 2 points for their name, which is good. Wanderers can go potentially up to the top four with a win today against Newcastle. Depending on how that goes, I think it might end up in a draw between those two teams. Perth Glory, Sydney FC, Tampa, Brisbane Roar, 11th, and Newcastle last at this point in time. But
a bit hard to sort of
pinpoint the I think today's game between the Wanderers and Newcastle is going to be a draw anyway. I think Newcastle can easily take a point off the Wanderers, and then, yeah, I think victory will be on top at the conclusion of match week two.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a very interesting thing to sort of see how the team will, well, how these teams will galvanise. And also, I must add that Danny Choi scored a 70-metre goal for Blacktown City against Sydney United, not Adelaide. He signed for Adelaide later, but it's a bit of correction there. Research is not there.
Yeah. We'll take a short break. We'll come back with what's happening with Kick 360, and also we're going to continue our small preview on the A-League Women's, because that's coming up next week. We're looking forward to seeing the ARW back in action.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Stick around on 88.3 Southern FM. Mark Misson and Bug. He's finally back after his cheeky little, I think it was an AGM he went to. He went to a meeting last week as well, but it's good to see Bug's beautiful face back in the studios, and the boys will be taking over the Secret Cricket Show from 10:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Neil, the A-League Women's, we've pumped it up for the last couple of weeks. The fixture is looking enticing for week one of the A-League Women's season.
Yeah, Delisa Devan has returned to football. She signed with the Perth Glory, which is fantastic.
Forgot to mention that as well. That's probably the big news coming out of the A-League Women's, is Lisa Devan moving over to Perth Glory. And it's looking, it's good. They've got a really good squad, actually, Glory, looking it on paper.
A lot of youngsters under Alexa Parker, as I mentioned before, Alana Janchevsky and the likes. But yeah, I think we'll go through this match day. Obviously, we've got Wellington playing their first ever A-League Women's game.
Good luck to them.
Against Western Sydney at Wynn Stadium. Hopefully they can get a crowd there. Canberra United against City. Canberra United bringing out another player out of retirement to play alongside Michelle Hyman, which is fantastic.
That's going to be a good game, actually. I'm looking forward to watching that next Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Canberra-Melbourne. It's probably the match, for me, it's probably the
match of the round.
Match of the round, yeah. By a long shot.
At Viking Park. Definitely. Yep. Very good stuff. Sydney FC are playing against Newcastle Jets. Ante Juric is back in his gig with the Sydney FC W League or A League women's team. Obviously,
I know, it's still adapting to the change of from the W League over to A League Women's.
Yeah, that, and also Juric moving from NPL to A League Women. But yeah, obviously Jessica Nash has obviously signed for Sydney FC, and they've got obviously Remy Simpson and a lot of other players as well. They've got a very formidable squad to play with. Jada Wyman, Mackenzie Hawksby. They also brought in Maria Jose Rojas from Adelaide United, also a Chilean international who got called up this week as well. The Jets, on the other hand, got a decent squad too. The Perth Glory, I think we'll put an emphasis on the Glory. They've got a very good squad this season. Of course, Natasha Rigby at the back, Hannah Lowry. Of course, Sophia Sakalis, who's from Victoria as well. And also Alana Janchevsky, Sarah Kane from NPL W as well. So a lot of Victorian names in this squad, which is brilliant to see. And also Brisbane Roar, of course. We'll put an emphasis on Melbourne Victory just because they're Victorian and the show is from Victoria. But they'll be playing at Amy Park, which is fantastic.
Curtain raiser to next week's game against Perth Glory too, by the way.
Yep, so they've obviously got Victory, in my opinion, will definitely romp the league this season.
Yeah.
Melina Ayres, Leah Privatelli, Polly Doran, Melinda Barbieri, Katie Dumont, Claudia Bunge, Kayla Morrison, who's a captain. You've got Kyra Cooney-Cross, Harriet Withers, who they picked up from Calder United and also was at Melbourne City, Tiffany Eliadis, Maya Markovsky, who I believe is... I am very wrong here. Maya Markovsky is related to John Markovsky or Zoran, or possibly both. Obviously both.
Yep.
But obviously a famous football name in Australia, by all you know, reports. Courtney Nevin as well, Victory have recruited as well, who played yesterday against the Team USA and Adelaide United, who have picked up. They've gone very hipster with their signings this season. They've picked up Shandine Evans, who's a very good player in her own right. And I'm excited to see her. Riona Omaya, she killed it for Bulleen. She killed it for South Melbourne in the NPLW. And there's no reason why they can't just smash it, I think.
Yeah.
She has a very good pedigree. Riona Omaya has played a lot in Japan and has moved to Australia. And then she's performing really well. So we'll see what happens. I think she's a very good box-to-box midfielder, and she's going to surprise a lot of people this season.
Indeed, indeed. Before we wrap things up for another edition of Kickoff, Kick 360, what's been happening over this week?
Live blogging, mate. It's a lot of live blogging, and it's good to see us get the live blogs up and ready. So the lead up will be live on Thursday and Friday for all your team news and everything around Australian football, sort of injury news, general news, and all of that. The Jazz, also the Matildas versus USA was covered yesterday. Adelaide United versus Melbourne City was covered yesterday as well. Today, as you're listening to this, Western Sydney Wanderers versus Newcastle game will be covered by our lovely Oliver Walker-Peel. He's on the team now, and he's killing it as well. Also, interviews with David Chick, Anton Milinaric, and a number of A-League women's players coming next week for you on Kick 360. Kickcast live on Monday at 5 p.m. on Clutch Radio.
You got to keep reminding yourself that it's 5 p.m., not 7 p.m.
We record at 7 p.m. on... It's actually on Tuesday. It's a Tuesday at 5 p.m. We record on Monday at 7:30 usually. So, yeah.
Getting your times mixed up, but...
No. Look, organization's key. So, yeah. I mean, this show is obviously on Clutch. Symbolcast on Clutch as well. So, very happy to continue the Kick Clutch partnership. We'll call it because Kickoff and
Kick 360.
You know, it's very good.
They've got a lot of great football programs too, Clutch Radio.
They've picked up Beyond 90.
The Brisbane Football Show.
Beyond Football Review. And they're hopefully going to add some more football to their stable in podcast form. So, definitely stay tuned to Clutch Radio. And also 88.3 Southern FM. Fantastic content on your Sunday afternoon sports bonanza, I'll call it that.
Yeah.
Cricket Sharp next.
And then we've got the Sunday Rundown a little bit later on today as well. But... that wraps us up for another big edition of Kickoff. We'll huge thank you again to Nick Hegarty for joining us as well, and good luck to Hegs too in those two big games.
Tomo, will you be heading down to ABD Stadium?
Well, funny you mention that, actually, Neil. I actually have Wednesday off work, so I don't think
we will be covering that game. I think so. I will be making a trip up to Broadmeadows.
It'd be rude not to head down to ABD Stadium to watch that.
I mean, it's a bit out of the way for you, isn't it?
A little bit, but you know.
I mean, if you're gonna go with someone, then fair enough.
Yeah,
I mean, they've got some brilliant food there. Hey, say hi to Heggs.
Yep, exactly.
Watch City get obliterated by NPL opposition.
It's like I said, hi to Heggs when they had the lights out at the game when they took on Mombolk for that last
ha,
which was a great game. That was.
Yeah, you're a Hume City extraordinaire. I've actually commentated my first game in NPL Victoria for Hume City against Altona Magic. So, the more you know.
Absolutely. That wraps us up for another big edition. Clem will be back next week. He will not sleep in through
Clem is going to get the hairdryer from me.
As we sign off, we're going to hand it over now to Mark and Bug for a big edition of the Secret Cricket Show between now and midday. We will be back next week.